We're going to have our brother Terry Perry presenting the message this morning.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. Can everybody hear me clearly? All right. Can I get everybody to bow their heads with me for a short prayer? Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity for us to come together. Lord, I ask that your spirit will be upon me. May the congregation not see me, but see you speaking through me. May hearts and minds be open to give the message that you have given to me first to give to those who are here. In Jesus' name I pray and we pray. Amen. When Pastor Ben called me and he told me that he wanted me to speak this week, generally before I speak, I am one that needs a long time to put together a 10-minute sermon. And I mean a long time. But between then, God put something else on my heart to share with everybody. And I think it's pretty important. So I would like for everybody to listen to me carefully as I go over some things today. I just started a new job down in Bamberg Job Corps. And it's my job as a seamen instructor to teach these kids how to do concrete work so that me being in the field for about 20 years, they can go down there for about 6 to 8 months, graduate from the program, and make close to what I make when I was out there making money. The opportunity that they have is ridiculous. But you know what I had to tell them recently this week? Now, notice I said job corps. It's not like Bible study. Well, everybody who is there, they want to be there to listen. I have students that don't want to be there, that want to fight against me. The crazy thing is, how should I say this? I spend more time preaching sermons to them on how to be good people than I actually do trying to teach them to do concrete. I started the job, maybe a month ago now? I probably preached 10,000 sermons since I've been in that class. And I say that for a reason, because it's something that I think we need to understand as a church. Go with me to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Now, I know everybody should automatically be familiar with those scriptures. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Revelation 14, we're going to read verses 6 through 10. All right, when you have it, say amen, so I know to keep going. All right, listen to this. This is the message of our church, the three angels' message. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Stop. Listen to me. Angels don't preach the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. Angels represent people. And the Bible teaches in the last days, God's people are going to give a special message that is going to go to the entire world. Remember, Revelation is symbolic. I'm going to make it simple. Angels don't preach. Have y'all ever seen an angel in the pulpit preaching? No. Angels represent people giving the message to the entire world. Now, notice something interesting now. There is a specific message that must go everywhere. Because remember, before the end comes, God wants to be fair and warn everybody about events that are coming. Amen? God is not going to let things happen and then not warn everybody first. That makes no sense. Remember, the end doesn't come until the gospel goes into the entire world. God wants everybody to have a fair chance. All right, 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. If you go back through your Bible, fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. Amen. So God's people in the last days will be teaching. What? You need to be keeping all of the commandments. And then it says, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. We glorify God in our eating and our drinking and our lifestyle. Whatever you do, whatever so you eat, whatever so you drink, do to the glory of God. So not only will their message talk about keeping God's law, the message will we also be talking about, you need to get nurture yourself back to health, folks. Because what's our major problem today? Everybody what? Everybody sick. Everybody got problems. Everybody's dealing with something. The hour of his judgment has come. You know, when Jesus come back, he's not going to say, you know what? I forgot to write who I'm supposed to take with me and who I'm supposed to leave here on the earth. A judgment happens before Christ comes back. He already knows who he's taking and who he's leaving behind, ladies and gentlemen. So God's people will be saying, hey, we need to get it together, right? Jesus is getting ready to come back soon. Now, is everybody following me? And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Guess what? When the Bible talks about worship him that made the heavens, the sea, and the fountains of waters, the Sabbath. Get back to worship of the Creator. Because what is one of the biggest problems today in our society? Evolution. We were not created. We evolved. So the church in the last days will have to face this issue because it will be a major issue amongst the public. You were created. You did not evolve. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen, the great city, because the nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication. There will be a particular organization or church that will be spreading and doing a lot of things in the last days. Their leader will be prominent amongst our leaders. That's all I'm going to say on that. I don't go too deep. And the third angel said, following them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So before the end comes, the Bible says before the beast takes over, God says, hey, my church is going to be telling everybody, don't take that mark. The church is going to identify the person, and it's going to identify what the mark is. God's people are going to be teaching, keep the commandments, get back to hell, keep the Sabbath. We also must be aware of what's going on politically. And when we identify the beast, be aware that do not take the mark. But you know what? Everything I just read is pointless. And everybody looking at me funny, right? Everything I just read is pointless. In my experience in being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, this is pointless. You know why? Because a lot of times people don't like us as individuals. And we can't even get to this part of our message because we're jerks. Think about that for a minute. You can't witness to somebody about a great truth if they don't like you. How do you reach somebody when they have an issue with you? You ever think about that? Sometimes it's not the message, folks. It's the person who's giving the message. That's the problem. All right, I want everybody to go to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. I want us to see something. Got all this information, but we can't share it with anybody. Luke 18. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, listen to this. Verse 9. And spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. So who is this parable for? For people who think they got it all together, but then they look at other people with contempt and look at them sideways. Is that something that's prevalent in our church? I would think if anybody's a Christian, you've come across some people that are pretty self-righteous in this church. It's everywhere. It's a problem. Notice it says they despise others. Isaiah 65 said, you got Christians, stand over there. I am more holier than thou. I got it together. Oh, I'm keeping all the laws. Big laws, small laws, spirit of prophecy, everything. I got it together. You ever come across folks like that? Okay, y'all looking at me crazy. I'm going to bring it home. Let's go to verse 10. Everybody looking at me funny. Because I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, I have to fight myself all the time to remember that just because I have something together gives me no right to judge my brother or sister who does not have it together yet. And then we want them to listen to us when we're trying to correct them. How does that work? Because if I don't like you, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. Now notice, not both of them Christians. Both of them going to the temple to pray. Their lifestyles may be a little different, but you got two people going to the temple. It's just like Cain and Abel. Cain claimed to be a worshiper of God. You say, Terry, well, no, he didn't. Well, I mean, he still took an offering to the Lord. I may disagree with everything the Lord wants me to do, but I still believe in the Lord. There are Christians like that today. I believe in the Lord, but I don't agree with doing everything the Lord wants me to do exactly the way he wants me to do it. Verses 11 and 12, listen to this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners. Unjust. Even this guy next to me in church, even as this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. You ever met a Christian that when they fast and they let everybody know they fasting? Or the popular TV show out and nobody should be watching you? They let you know that they ain't watching that TV show without you asking about it. Or maybe when everybody get down, get into the cafeteria, or you go somewhere to eat, they let everybody know what they don't eat without you asking. Without you asking. They volunteer all this information. Hey, look, check this out now. You don't know me yet, but look, you need to understand how I am if you're going to be around me. Y'all see this? This mentality. We have a very special message to give to the world, but our when people look at us, they're going to get disgusted. You see where I'm going with this? They are professionals at letting everybody know what they do. Me. Remember Hezekiah? Remember them guys came to come and visit his kingdom? Hezekiah, oh man, let me show y'all my house. Let me show y'all my treasures. Take a look at everything I have done. Isaiah say, so what did you show them guys when they came to the Lord's kingdom? I showed them everything that was mine. Cursed. Sometimes people don't even see Jesus in us because we so, man, I've been in this message for years. I got it together. I got all this stuff right. People are going to get disgusted. You're not supposed to glorify yourself. Let your lifestyle do the talking alone. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's another problem when we do that. And see, some people so used to giving their list. Matthew 7:21 says when Jesus come back, hey, Jesus, you ain't got to know who take him out of my list right here. I done many wonderful works in your name. I done called out demons in your name. Who are you? I don't know you. You still pulling out the same list, huh? Y'all see where I'm going? Y'all sure? Y'all still see where I'm going with this? The guy said, I thank thee that I am not as other Seventh-day Adventist Christians are. What does that mean? I mean, the cross, the bottom of the cross, the ground is level, right? Everybody's the same when it comes to salvation, right? The fact that this individual even thinks that they are better than their brother because they are doing certain things you already got it wrong. You see this mentality? See, we look at this and we remove ourselves from the parable. No, this is us. These are the type of things that we do. If I was to ask everybody who knows you, what would they say about you and your Christianity? Would they say, that guy's a jerk. She kind of judgmental. I don't really like being around them in their company. Or do they say, you know what, that's a pretty good guy. It's a pretty good girl. Folks, you know there is something else that every Christian has, and it's called influence. You can't reach nobody without influence. No matter how much information you got, if you got no influence, you have no audience. You have no audience, you're reaching nobody. See how everything ties in together? You know, I don't do this. I thank thee. I ain't an extortioner. I ain't this. I ain't that. You know, even if you don't smoke and drink and gamble and do drugs, you can still end up in the same place those people are because you're judging them. See, God wants us to see something. Because see, let me give you a little glimpse into the future. What was Israel's problem? They got to the point where, don't come near me. Don't touch me. If you touch me, I got sin. That is some nonsense. We repeat the same mistake. We want to reach people, but when people look at us, are they disgusted? Or are they, And it says, he prayed with himself. I'm going to tell you a serious thing within our church lately, and everybody's experienced this. I've had other Christians who are not of the Adventist faith come to me and say, I need to leave here and go to another place similar to ours. And I'll ask them, well, what's the difference doctrinally wise? They'll say nothing. So then I'll say, well, if it's same there and here, why should I go there? What is being offered? Well, because we're not falling like everybody else. wait a minute. The church is a hospital. I ain't never seen a hospital where all the patients was healed. The ground is level. Are we saying we're so high and mighty that we can't be around other people who are sinners? I can't endorse that. You know, God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. You bring your butt to church, and you do what you need to do, regardless of what's going on with everybody else. If you don't believe me, check out the widow's mite. People say all the time, hey, I can't give tithes to the church because the church, they take the money, and they do whatever, and they steal and rob and all that stuff. The woman took her last two pennies and gave and funded a ministry that was going to kill Jesus. She gave money to an organization that was plotting to kill Jesus, did kill Jesus. But you know what? Jesus said she still got her blessing because she did what she was supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do and don't worry about what everybody else doing. I don't care if everybody acting crazy. I'm still going to be in here. Hey, how you doing? Happy Sabbath. Brother Perry's here today. What everybody else do got nothing to do with what I'm supposed to do with the Lord. You see how that works? Verse 13 to 14. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, we make people be distant with us. We give off this air of we're unapproachable, which is why you don't lay out everything that you got together. You make people see you. They're gonna be constantly uncomfortable around you. Our job is to reach people. Once we have the message, the study of our life is how can I reach somebody with the message that I have? The message is no good if you can't reach people, folks. What is the point of coming to church? What is the point of being here? The other Christian, he wouldn't even, he said, you know what, Lord, I can't even be around. I'm just, you know, I disgusted with myself. I'm trying to do what's right. Everybody else is judging me. It's kind of like I'm doing the best that I can. You know, I remember I watched movies with old Italian bosses, you know, when they wanted to get somebody to do something. When he get ready to send his henchmen, he say, you know what you need to do? You either help them or you hurt them. Okay, we either gonna help people come into the church and draw closer to Christ, or we gonna hurt them and push them away. You only got two decisions, folks. Either you help people see the church and see Christ as something beautiful, or you pushing everybody away that comes near you. And see, the thing is, we so insufferable, we so intolerable, we hard as rocks when we dealing with people. There's this guy, me and Brian, I see this pastor all the time at Aiken. And when I first met him, me and Brian talked to him a couple times. He immediately started attacking everything about this church. Thank the Lord that I am a mature Christian. And that does not run me off. If you talk about my church, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to run and cry about it. Well, what do you think? I remember me and Brian went to a Bible study. He laid out, he printed out these sheets off the internet. You know, if you look up SDA on the internet, you know what kind of nasty stuff. He laid out everything about our denomination on the table in front of the rest of the Bible study group. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. Think about his method of trying to reach me and him. Is his method, if I wasn't a mature Christian, what would have been my reaction? I'd have went off on him. You see what I'm saying? We don't think. We want to reach people, but we do it in the most disgusting way, and then we expect, oh, you know what, you was right. I'm finna convert my life right now. I'm finna get it together. How many times did we do that when we got presented with the truth? No. How long? I probably was what, high school? I probably went through all 27 Revelation seminars. I ain't coming to the church 10 years later. It didn't sink in, folks. We can't expect people to accept this message just because you tell them the first time. I remember one time at Bible study, they was pressuring me to do a whole study on the mark of the beast and all that stuff. Oh, man, Terry, if you tell them stuff and show them the future and everything, man, they definitely going to come in. They definitely going to get it. Man, my wife can tell you I was taking hours up at a time putting that stuff together, put that whole lesson together, laid it out, gave them the quotes, showed them what they said about our church, everything. And them kids still didn't get it. One of them did mention about the lesson. He said, Terry, so are we gonna bash that church again today? I was thinking to myself, he missed the entire point of the entire lesson. Just because you present something to somebody doesn't mean automatically they understood what is presented to them, and it does not automatically mean that they got it. Which is why we should not judge people so quickly because they heard it. They saw the lesson. I gave them the Bible study guide, so they're going to be held responsible for that in the judgment. The wind might have blew it away before they even got in the car. See, that's, this is the message is we can't reach people if people are, you know, it's just disgusted with us, just how we deal with people. People have to have time to grow. Matthew 4:26-29 says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, then the Lord comes with the sickle and gets the harvest. As soon as we see a blade on somebody, we pulling out our axe. Whoosh! Now cut them down already if they ain't had a chance to grow yet. Don't even know the Ten Commandments yet, and we getting on them about stuff they ain't got no business to be getting on about. Y'all seen this before. It's in every church. It's everywhere. We won't give people time enough to grow. You got baptized last week. You need to be preaching on Revelation in 2 months. Folks, you know how long it took me to get to the place that I am now and to get to the mindset that I have? You know how many butt whoopings I had to take? I tell you all the time, I was up at USC Aiken, the Daughters of Zion. I was going to show them girls who was boss. I was up at school, and they had these different Bible study groups, and I was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I walked up there. All y'all wrong. Let me tell y'all about this and that. Up there quoting stuff I hear from the pulpit, quoting Spirit of Prophecy. They're like, who that? What's that? What your Bible say? I ain't got the scriptures yet, but I'm going to get back to you. Ooh, them girls told me up. First of all, my attitude was nasty. And guess what? You know, when it happened up at the college, there was a group of other kids who were around. I didn't represent us rightly. Matter of fact, I probably turned people away from us. It's the mistakes that we made. Because you know what? My attitude was just like this guy. Ain't got nothing. Don't know nothing. You ain't from my denomination. How can you know anything? You need to listen to everything I say and shut up. Folks, that ain't how it worked. You know, the Bible says we are trees, right? We're fruit-bearing trees. The Bible says God is going to cut trees down. Before they finish, before they even bear one piece of fruit, we already got the axe at the bottom of the tree trunk, just chopping it down. We got the chainsaw out, hewing it down. Some of us, we come out there in a skid steer and a bulldozer, just ready to mow people down. Folks, we have to give people time. We have to work with people. It's hard enough for me sometimes to retain all the information that we have. We have to be easier with people. And then here's another thing. You heard about the cities of refuge. The Bible teaches there were six cities in Israel. If a person killed somebody accidentally, you had to run to one of those six cities. Because in the Old Testament, if you took blood, God says, well, your life needs to be forfeited by the closest family member. They was going to hunt you down. So they had laid it out so that no matter where something happened in Israel, you can make it to one of those cities within a day's journey. When you got to the city, well, matter of fact, on the way to the city, they had to have roads that were cleared, and they had to have signposts saying, City of Refuge, hurry up, run faster, get there because you're in trouble. When you got to the city, the priest was supposed to take you in, and you were up under the protection of the priest and the high priest who was there. The Bible says Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the fortress in whom we flee. But check this out. It was the priest's job, or AKA the church's job, to keep the roads clear and keep the signposts clear. When the church didn't do their job, they left signs that started to fall apart. Trees and bushes started growing over the paths. So people who were running from the destroyer, AKA Satan, trying to find salvation, they got stopped, they got lost. Sometimes the priest slacked on their job and they may have left a stone in the road. And the person running tripped on the stone. Doesn't the Bible say, do not put a stumbling block before your brother? See how that makes sense now? Sometimes because we won't do our job, we put stumbling blocks before people and they get tripped up and they lose their way. Closing. You know this little book called Desire of Ages? Anybody ever heard of that? You know what Desire of Ages is? In that book, Desire Agents, everything about Jesus' life from beginning to end is told in detail. His childhood, his teenage years, everything. You know, Jesus was a perfect guy. He also was a perfect teacher. He trained the disciples for 3.5 years, and they still didn't get it. And we want people to come into this church and hear this message and get it in 3.5 weeks. And we imperfect. And we trying to teach people. You see what I'm saying, folks? We're intolerable. We're unyielding with people. Jesus was perfect. You know, if anything, Jesus could have said, ugh, I got to go to church with these sinners, these people. Why I got to deal with them? Grayhead day, don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I don't have to deal with y'all. Look at Jesus' congregation. He had a Christian who would cut your ear off for looking at the pastor wrong. He had two other Christians that was banishing everybody to hell, fire and brimstone, Lord, when they made a mistake. And then he had another one, Thomas. He didn't believe nothing that was being preached on the pulpit. He had a messed up church. Look at what Jesus dealt with. He was perfect. He was perfect. But we have the audacity to not be like Christ with our brethren. And we are imperfect. You see how this works? See, that's why we're supposed to be like salt. You know, you put a little bit of salt on your food, people say, that's still good right now. You put too much salt, ugh. A little bit at a time, folks. You give people a little bit at a time. Make sure it's tasty to them. They enjoy it. They'll come back. If you give people too much, you're gonna ruin the whole meal you're trying to give people. Remember Peter? Lord, I don't care what the rest of these 11 gonna do. I ain't gonna deny you tonight. The rest of them. What happened after that? He found out something about himself, right? Peter had to remember that he made a mistake and he had to be forgiven. When Jesus resurrected and he talked to Peter again, did any of you pay attention to how Jesus asked Peter that question? He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And this time, Peter didn't say, I love you more than them. He said, Lord, look, I love you. He didn't throw his friends up under the bus this time. He didn't throw the church up under the bus. His attitude changed because he saw that I'm just like them. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Jesus, you know I love you. Already, Jesus, quit. I know what you're doing. Jesus showed you Peter's conversion. Truth is not a thing. Truth is a person. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not just information. It's the individual that we're advocating through our lives. You can't give the information without the person and expect people to take the message. When you teach hellfire, you can teach Jesus in that. When you teach the health message, you teach Jesus in it. When you teach any doctrine that we have, you put Jesus in it. You can't separate Jesus from any one of our doctrines. That's the thing. We want to present the information completely devoid of Christ and then wonder why people aren't amazed by it. She said it earlier, Gabrielle said it earlier in Sabbath school. Christ's not coming back until his character is reproduced in the church. It don't say when the church know the truth. It say when the church is acting like their leader is when he comes back. So my question to everybody here today is, are you representing Christ correctly in our message? Because remember, all the information that we have, all the spirit of prophecy that we have, everything that we have means nothing if I cannot present Jesus in all of it. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come together and worship with you this Sabbath. Lord, may we leave here today remembering that you were the most religious person that ever lived, but people flocked to you. And it seems like the more religious we become, the less people want to be around us. So help us to learn how to love others and how to draw people to us with love. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We ask that you give everybody safe traveling mercy and be with everybody throughout this hurricane. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.